Let's start over for the recording. Welcome to Enabling Consumerization of IT, or as Jeff Woolsey put it at the beginning of the plenary, people-centric IT. My name is David Tessar, and I am based in Redmond, Washington. I'm a technical evangelist, and I've been at Microsoft for 10 years now. And today, I am going to hopefully empower you or enable you to consumerize the IT inside of your environment. Many of you today are getting bombarded by devices. You have all kinds of devices coming into your network, and there's a lot of things you're thinking right now. Well, it may be your boss says, I want to support this, or whatever that is, right? And today I want to challenge you to think a little bit differently of how you look at a bunch of different devices in your network. And my goal is to enable you and show you how, using Microsoft solutions, you can have a good policy and strategy to enable consumerization of IT inside your organization. Okay. Koala bears. What in the world has he got going on here? Well, when I'm back home, I have my friend or my mate, as you call it here. I sat him down, and I didn't really explain anything about the session or anything. But I asked him, I said, what are some Australian animals that most people like, seem comfortable, friendly, that most Australians would be pretty open to, hanging out with the koalas or whatever, right? So he gave me these koala bears. And what does that have to do with anything? Well, just bear with me here. Let's just say that koala bears, for a minute, are Windows. Okay? And let's go to the next animal. And I want you to, I went through them for a number of scenarios here with these descriptions. The next one I said, I had a number of things I described to him, and he said, oh, yeah, definitely the wombats. So if you had to put a product on that, like Windows or something else other than Windows, what would you associate a wombat with? A what?
It's got a
Linux. Okay, that's a good guess. Could be Vista. that's funny. All right, so Apple. That's what I said. Now, some of you are already having these reactions, right? Now, I'm guessing most of you are probably PC-type folks in the audience, but, you have your Mac friends, and they're like, well, a Mac is not a wombat. No, it's so much better, all right? Well, keep bearing with me here. One more example. A croc, right? I said, oh, what's dangerous? I said to my mate, what's dangerous? What's kind of exciting? But, ooh, I'm not sure if I want to engage with those. Anybody have a guess? Drop beer? What? Linux?
Droid.
Winner. That's what I said. That's what I was looking for, okay? And so tie this back in. So these are my three animals, right? Let's tie this back into consumerization of IT. The reality is that even if you want to say, I'm not going to support, crocs or androids or koalas in your environment, they're out there. They're in the wild. Right? Devices are out there. These animals are out there. You have to do something about them. You have to have some kind of stance with them, right? So you can't avoid this altogether. Now, if you're still not convinced, because I understand animals probably aren't going to totally convince you on this stat, the fact that consumerization has already happened, let's go to this next slide. Stats on device explosion. I'm not going to read all of these off, and this is 2011, a lot of these stats. The reality is that the amount of devices in the environment are only increasing, right? You're having more and more devices per user, and the amount of new technology and the cost of that technology is continuing to increase. Therefore, it's not like you can just say, oh, I'm not going to do this consumerization thing. I'm going to be the guy that says, here's your laptop and just deal with it. It's like, no. That's not the story. Well, consumerization has already happened. It's already here. The question is, what are you going to do about it? Today, that's what I'm hoping to help you with, to kind of start off with, first of all, some policies, some policy frameworks for your organization to start thinking a little bit differently in your organization. Now, how many in this audience have a policy of here's your own, provide your desktop or your laptop or whatever? Can I raise your hand? Huh? Officially or unofficially was the question. Either way, I mean, how many of you in your company you provide users with some form of device? Raise your hand. Okay, thank you. We're awake. All right, that's pretty much everybody in the audience, and that's what I expected. Let's go to the complete opposite end of the spectrum and say, how many support every device under the sun? There's three of you. All right, kudos to you on the next wave of things. But the reality is that there's these different layers, and of course you don't have to follow this model to the T. But the reality is that you have, let's say in this example, four different buckets. On your own is every device under the sun. Bring your own would be maybe a smaller subset of devices inside of your company that you're saying, you know what, let's say that it's Windows or whatever it is. We're going to support those things. And it gets narrower and narrower until you have the here's your own. Choose your own being, we'll buy the device for you, but it's got to be on this list. You get to pick. Right, here's your own is you just get it, take it or leave it. The reality though here is that your device ownership, right? That's the big term these days, bring your own device. Well, bring your own device has to deal with ownership of the device, right? And there are only specific things that you need to think about as far as ownership. Things would be like hardware. If the hardware dies, it's not owned by the company. What do I do with that, right? I mean, certainly if it's an on-your-own scenario where you have no idea it's the latest PunchPad 5000 and people bought it themselves, you're not going to say as a company, well, sure, I'll just pay for that. No, but on the other side of the spectrum, if you said, hey, here's a choose-your-own situation where it's on a supported list of devices, and that broke down, well, then you'd say, okay, maybe your company would either just provide them another device or reimburse them for something. The other category to think about as far as ownership of a device would be the help desk. So, if they have that PunchPad 5000, either you're going to say that's no support, or we're just going to give you best effort for that type of hardware, because obviously, you can't support every device for help desk calls. So, What do we really care about then? And this brings me to the next slide. Well, on the left side, there's device ownership policies. And on the right side, we have access policies. Because access policies is really what we care about. Over there, we've labeled four different categories. And you'll start to see, as we go through some of the demos, how those categories play out. But the reality is that ownership is part of the story. But what level of access you give those devices is really where you're going to spend most of your time, effort, and where you're going to see the most benefit. So you see three major categories here, right? Productivity. If the user doesn't have any way to do business on his device, then really, what's the point, right? You're just spending extra cycles and, there's no value to the business, right? So you have to have some form of productivity enabled on those devices. And then security. How are you going to be able to secure those devices and make sure corporate data doesn't get lost? And then finally, manage them. You need some way to manage those devices in your environment. Okay. What is this? Here's another kind of splice on this. So you've got these different policies. And on one side, you have, employee-managed devices. And on the other side, you've got company-managed devices. You also have, employee indifference. They don't really care about, with a public policy and perhaps an on your own, they don't really care about whether they get work done on this device. It's a totally personal device. They don't care. They don't want to get any work done on it, and that's the way they want to keep it, and that's fine, right? The other ones, you may have some influence on them. If you provide them with productivity scenarios, they may decide to even opt in to some of your policies voluntarily. So for instance here, at this top layer, you see risk and access. That's one of the core things that it comes down to. If you've got a device and you have no idea what it is and you have no control at all over it, that's a pretty high risk. And you want to make sure that you don't provide those devices to have access inside your environment. On the flip side of things, people that have a corporate managed compliant device that you know has got all the encryption on it, it's got all the lockdown security and management that you need, you want to provide those users with the absolute best experience inside of your environment, right? You want to enable them to get work done in the best way possible on those devices. So we go to this next one. This also kind of is another view on the world, because we can talk policies and we can talk security and management all day long, but this is what it really boils down to, is your people are at the center of this whole thing. And that's strongly what we believe in, because it's not about the old school way of I'm managing a device, I'm managing, hardware, right? That's part of the picture, but the reality is that you're enabling, you're empowering users. And with that, right, you've got to make sure they're productive, the access and productivity, make sure that your data is safe. But at the center of that is the identity, and for most of you who have Active Directory, that would be the case. Okay. So first off, the rest of this time we're going to go through demos. All right. This is the rest of this session is all demos, and we're going to just keep walking through these scenarios and these mashups. And I want you to start thinking about how might I implement this kind of policy inside of my organization, policy and or the products to support these kinds of scenarios. The templates that I use are just samples. You could tweak or tune those however you want. But this is just to really start to get you thinking about maybe what changes you might make inside your own organization. All right, first off, we're going to demo something called server and domain isolation. And has anybody used server and domain isolation? Show of hands. There's like two people. Okay, so good. The scenario here, I'm going to go over to my Android device. Let's go to number two. Okay. So we got your croc here. and this is not a corporate managed device. We don't have corporate email or anything on it at this point. And like most companies, right, your employees are gonna probably bring their device in, whether you like it or not. Now maybe your company's hardcore and you pat people down before they walk in. But the reality is they might come in and they probably know the wireless password on the network. They might even have, if they've got a laptop of their own, they probably can plug it in and get an IP address and start walking around and connecting up to the network, right? Well, in this case, we've got an Android device. And what we're going to do is just show the fact that this device is on the corporate network. So being okay, yeah. But what we're going to do is go to an internal web server. Now this is about, for now, this is about where the Android part ends. But I want to bring this point up to you and say this is an internal IP and this is a totally unmanaged device. Now, how many of you are 100% confident that inside your organization every single piece of device on the network is completely locked down, and that if somebody, a hacker for instance, or somebody comes into the network and plugs in and starts to try and access whatever they can, how are you sure that it's all secure and safe, right? Well, maybe not, right? That's a hard one. That guy does. One guy can say that. That's good for you. but most of us here on the other side of the house, right, aren't going to be able to confidently say that. So what we're going to show you is how you might implement server and domain isolation. Because ideally what we want to showcase is not totally blocking the Android from having any access, but what you might want to do is say when you connect to the corporate network, you get internet, but you can't connect to any of the servers. So let's go back to show you how to enable server and domain isolation inside your environment. It is surprisingly easy, although it does have some very serious implications, as you'll see here in a minute. Okay. So I'm going to log on to my domain controller. And on my domain controller, what I'm going to do is go in and to the new AD Administration Center. Most of you are familiar with AD User Computers. It's got a lot of similar functionality. So here, we'll see that we have that server 1. Okay, that server 1 is inside of this server's OU, right? And what we're going to show is how you enable server and domain isolation. It is literally group policies. That's what we need to do, because what we're doing is encrypting at the network layer using IPsec that communication. So what you can see here is we've got two different group policies that are created. And within there, there's a request auth and there's a require auth. When we go in to edit this, I'm going to scroll down here to where the policies are at under security settings, Windows Firewall. And under Windows Firewall, there's these connection security rules. So it is kind of buried inside of group policy. But after this, all you need to do is right-click and choose new rule. Let me zoom in on that. Okay, when we choose new rule, once I zoom out again, you get this fancy wizard. Imagine that inside a group policy. And here what you can see is that there's a few options for you to choose from. It says, hey, isolation, restrict connections based on authentication criteria such as domain memberships or health status. That's what we want to do, because we want to isolate all of our domain joined machines so that people do not have access that aren't managed inside our environment. We click next. And we have two options here. We can either require auth or we can request authentication. Now, request authentication would need to be enabled across your domain so that if you do have servers that require the IPsec authentication, that they would be able to communicate. So in this case, we'll just choose request for now so you get an idea of how it is. Now you can have computer and user Kerberos to do that authentication. We'll choose next. We'll apply that to which domain profile. So for instance, this is kind of handy if you say, hey, if somebody's on the domain network, we want to make sure we enforce IPsec. Whereas if they're outside of the network, we don't care if that's applied. We click next, have a name for it, and then click finish, and then that's about it. Now, when you do this, a member I mentioned here, there's some serious implications. Well, let's say that you had your servers require authentication, and the clients aren't requesting that authentication. Well, then guess what? You've got lots of people calling you inside your organization that I don't have access to any of the servers like I did anymore. So it definitely requires you to do some planning, but really, that's about it. Now, in the case of server 1, all I would really need to do is move server 1 inside of the secure servers OU, which has the require authentication. And after that, all these devices wouldn't be able to now have access to my corporate resources. So you've effectively blocked access at the network layer inside your organization with ease just through group policies. Everybody tracking? All right. Okay. Let's go back to the slides. Keep it going here. So what we've just shown you, right, Android devices, we give them internet access. We're giving you security via server and domain isolation, and we're not really managing those devices. Let's keep going down the stack here. Okay, now we've got to bring your own iPad. And, we realize that a lot of people still want to, use these things in the environments. We'll show you after this a number of Windows scenarios that I think are more compelling than what the iPad has to offer. But for now, let's go with it, right? We want to enable productivity with Office 365. And we're gonna have a little collaboration with everybody in the audience here to utilize Office 365. Give me just a minute here.
go to my iPad. This, just so you know, I have this iPad here, and it's attached through my my system. Magically, there's a little device here. So that's how it's working. So this is a live device, just so you're not confused at what's going on. Let me go to a full screen mode here. All right. So what I've done, and this may prompt me, it probably will prompt me to log in again, and that's fine. I'm prepared for that. But this is once you first log in to Office 365. If you go to office365/preview or the AKA link I mentioned, we have the new version that's available for you to try out. What I'm going to do is click on the team sites. When you click on the sites or SharePoint Online, I'm going to then click on team site. When I go to team site, one of the things that's new with Office Web Apps is you notice that it automatically detected, you may have not noticed, but it kind of, the view that you've got there is intelligent or it's smart. It knows that this is a mobile type device. And based on that, it's given me a different look and feel for this device. When we click on CoAuth demo, let's see here. I'm going to refresh the page. And what this is going to enable me to do is edit those documents, edit or view those documents inside of the browser. So we've got this device here. And you'll notice here that we have the ability to view documents as well as even edit documents. When I go to edit in browser, oh, looks like my little dongle here is, this does this sometimes. It just, there we go. The little dongle here, so we go to edit and you notice that we can even edit these documents. So for instance here, if I want to make a change, I just click on that. And even on the bottom here, you can see that there's one person editing. So if there were more than one person editing, you could go into this document and make changes. So in this case, I'm going to, let's say, up this to 900. Let's just do 9,000, get crazy here. And you'll notice that automatically these diagrams changed on the fly. And this is all within Safari using the iPad. Now, we support all major web browsers, so Chrome, Firefox, Safari, to do this work. What I'd like to do now is enable you to connect up to the document that we have here inside the environment. Let me escape out of this. And here is some credentials. Now, this is what you're going to do to log in to try and co-author. So write this down. So there's five users here. Now, the first five people to log in are going to be able to be the ones that win, so to speak, as far as being able to use it. So you see here, because once you log in, you're going to have to change your password. But I am going to offer something to the folks who do happen to successfully write something on the document there. First off, just to log in, you're going to go to aka.ms/coauth. And then after you've logged in, authenticated, if you go to aka.ms/coauth2, that's going to then go to the document that I would like you to go in and make changes and edit. So it's a race now. Now, while you are doing that, I am going to go over to another demo just for the sake of time. I recorded a demo just earlier today on the same iPad. I want to show you something else that you can do while on iPad to keep you productive. Pat, okay, so I'll give you one more second here. So there's the password. You've got user 12345 at xsc123.onmicrosoft.com. Okay, that's it. That's all you get. All right, let's go into this here. And what I've done here is I've logged into the Windows Intune company portal using my iPad. And when you first log in, you'll notice here it gives you a warning or message that says, hey, your administrator may apply policies. I'm going to click on Home. And once I go to Home, I'm then going to click on Get Applications. Once I click on Get Applications, I've got this Expense Approvals application. When I click on install, goes to installing, gives me a prompt and says, hey, are you sure that you want to install these expense approval apps? And I say, yep, I want to install it. And then it goes to this, you know, installing an app on the iPad. And there it's initializing installing. And there we did. We installed a corporate application from a company portal provided by Windows Intune onto this iPad device. When we click on expense approvals, right there we have, let's say, a corporate application that you now have on a device. So that's one way that you can help your users be productive. Okay. So we're going to go back and see if some of you have done some editing to this co-auth demo. Ah, all right. We've got a winner here. Who is Paul Laios? Hey, good job, right up front. All right, awesome. So I will hook you up after we're done here. So it's nice, have fun. So here we can, you know, here we can edit. What we could also do, right, is see the authors. So he logged in as user one. Looks like user five is maybe starting to try and type something in here. But this gives you an idea of how from any web browser you can start to edit and co-author documents. This example here is just using OneNote. Okay, but now the next question you might have, let's pause here for a second. So remember there's three categories kind of for this scenario. So there's productivity, there's security, and there's management. So we've shown you how to make people productive or more productive on the iPad. Would you agree with that? Yep, okay. So we're safe there. Now, but the next thing, though, is security and management. How in the heck are we going to make sure this thing is secure, right? How are we going to ensure that we're going to manage it? Well, for that, what we're going to do is go into Windows Intune. And within Windows Intune, when you log in as an admin, there's this admin console. I'm going to open that in a new tab. Hopefully it doesn't need to re-authenticate me. It may. Here we go. Okay, yeah, it does need to re-authenticate me. That's fine. Okay. Here we have Windows Intune. This is a cloud-based PC management service, or I'd say management service. And what we can do inside of this is we can enable people who synchronize their email to have specific policies for mobile devices. When we go into policies here, we can see that we've got a number of policies. Within that, we have, let's say, a mobile security baseline policy. Okay? And we're going to click on that. And what you'll notice here is that there's going to be quite a few settings that you have the ability to change inside of the environment. For instance, allow mobile devices that don't fully support these settings to synchronize. So for instance, if it doesn't support having a password, then it's not going to work. Let me go back here. You can set a PIN. You can set alphanumeric. You can set the number of minutes of inactivity that device has. You can enforce encryption. So here you can see requiring encryption on the mobile devices. And you can allow camera, web browser, these other things. So once you do this, you have the ability to deploy that policy to a specific set of users. And this is one of the unique things that you really can't do anywhere else inside of Microsoft, at least not without any heavy scripting. But when we click Manage Deployment, you can deploy this policy to specific user groups. Now, these user groups, you can synchronize with your on-premise Active Directory. And we'll come back to that here in a minute. But just so you know, you could apply those policies. So there, this enables you to manage and enforce security on devices such as iPads inside of your own environment. And all you really had to do is sign up for Windows Intune account and synchronize that with your on-premise Exchange server. Okay, let's go back to the slide now. Okay, to kind of recap this, what we've seen here is more productive on an iPad. We've shown you the security using username and password to log in. And then, you know, on the access policy, I set a proxy. So when I say proxy, I'm usually thinking there's no data locally on this account. kind of the general proxied access policy means that the device itself isn't storing, let's say, sensitive data. It's just, you know, without any policies, all you're doing is providing a username and password, and they're able to remotely connect to different resources. I put in brackets their corporate, which is kind of the next level of management. So if you said, let's say you did want to enforce some kind of security or management on that device, for instance, it synchronizes email and you apply a policy, at that point you might say, well, it's no longer a proxied policy, it's now a corporate managed device because you have it inside of your organization. Does that make sense to everybody? Yeah? Okay. Most of you. All right, getting some head nods. All right, let's keep going here. All right. No more. Now, at this point, hopefully, you know, you're not thinking, well, gosh, are they just telling me to use iPads? Well, no, I'm certainly not telling you to do that. How many of you have heard of Surface PC? How many have heard it? Raise a hands. All right, we got some big fans there. So Surface PC is going to be pretty awesome. I don't happen to have any one of those yet to show you, but that is that is one of the great devices that we're going to have. We're going to have also hundreds of other form factors, such as this one that I have here. This is a Samsung Slate device. Okay. Looks like a lot of getting some head nods. Some people have seen this before. It's pretty thin. It's touch-based. It also runs a Core i5 processor, and I'm even running Hyper-V on this Slate device, believe it or not. Okay. So the big point here is that there's some choices now. There's going to be a whole ton of more choices, and I'm going to dive into now this device. And give you a kind of a demo of what this thing can do for you. Let me switch over to it right now. Number 8. Okay. So here we are on a Windows 8 Slate device. And just to kind of set the stage here, this is technically the base device is my domain joined machine to Microsoft. But what I've done is I have enabled via Hyper-V here. Looks like, give me 1 second here. Turn it back on. We have this beautiful thing called Picture Password, and I'm going to have to, well, I'll show you Picture Password, and I'll change my password after this. It's not like you're going to steal my device. So here we are. I tapped, and you don't have the feedback here. Oh, you can't see it anyway. So I've tapped this picture and logged into this device just using a Picture Password. We'll give it a minute here to reset. Okay, so here we have this device, and via Hyper-V, I've logged into a remote desktop session. So what I'm going to do here, you'll notice we've got Ben Smith here. This is the VM that's being hosted on Hyper-V, but that's the one that I have domain to the demo environment I'm going to show you here. So we've got Ben. Let me grab my keyboard here. Only so much space up here that I have. Okay. Here Ben is, and this Slate device is a corporate domain joined machine, fully managed inside of your organization. This device can be used for personal use and for business use, and there's really no compromises that you have when you get this device. It also has direct access. How many people have heard of direct access? Like most everybody. Okay, good. I don't need to explain that. So this device is going to have seamless access into your corporate network. So for instance here, you'll notice that I'm connected to this configuration manager portal. And this could happen, right, if I'm in direct access anywhere I'm at inside of my company. Now one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and install that application using our self-service portal. Right here, I've got a Metro-style application. I'm going to click Install. Yes, I'd like to install that. And here you can see with the software self-service portal that you have the ability to provide users with, kind of like we showed earlier, to install whatever kind of applications they'd like. So you see here the software installation is complete. I'm going to click OK. And now I've got a new application that you're going to see on my start menu. Now, because I'm logged in using the new remote desktop, I'm going to swipe up because the same gestures are not the same when you're connected via remote desktop. I'm going to click on the charms, which usually charms you would just swipe to the right to do that. Click start. And when I scroll over here, I've got this new application that I just installed from my company's self-service portal, this Onyx device, Onyx Windows 8 application. When I click on this, I've now got a rich experience, right? I can move back and forth. This is the new Windows 8 style applications. Now this is, you know, this could be your company's application, could be your business application inside your environment. And I still am going to have the ability, now I'm switching, see this is the fault of when you have RDP. So here we have, right, I'm going to click back to my start menu. You have the ability, right, to still install with this device personal applications from the store and have corporate applications on the same device. It's fully managed, and you have all those capabilities to do that on this device. All right. With that, though, let's go back to my PC here. Give me one second here. Okay. All right. What you've seen is how you can be productive on a Windows 8 Slate device. You see how, now if we had user experience virtualization on there, we'd be able to keep that user's settings for applications, desktop, those kinds of things, and we could move those between different PCs to give a richer experience for that user. And you know, this would be encrypted with BitLocker, right? You could enforce that. So any data that's on that device is going to be secure, right? Something that you can't do with all these other types of devices, right? Let's go to the next demo here. Okay. Now we're going to move forward with, let's say, a Windows laptop, a personally owned one. Somebody buys a, you know, could be an Ultrabook or whatever they have at home, and they want to get some work done, you know, on their own device that they have. It's a pretty common scenario. So what I'm going to show you here is a personally joined, or personal laptop, not joined, a personal laptop that we have. And this laptop is, we'll just show you here. It's not joined to any domain. It's in a work group. See there, it's a workgroup machine. And what we can do with this, we installed the Windows Intune client on this device, right? So when we right-click on this down here, we have this Windows Intune portal that's there. And when we right-click on that, we're going to have the ability to have two things come up here. One is the Windows Intune Center. Windows Intune Center, you'd have the ability to install applications from the company portal. We're going to show you that in just a second. You can ensure that updates are happening on the device. You also automatically get endpoint protection, so you can make sure that when you have the latest virus definition updates on that PC. And if we had that enabled, we could also do remote assistance. So if your corporate users needed to get help or help desk or some other thing in their environment, people could automatically get notified and remotely connect up to that device to give them help. Okay, now we're going to go to the Intune portal, the company portal. So this would be the PC version of that. Now, if we had Active Directory users and computers synchronized inside of your domain, he could use his domain credentials to log in here. In this case, we're just going to use the on Microsoft account. Okay, so this is a different view than what you saw from the iPad, but it's the same thing, the same company portal, just presented in a little different way because it detects that it's a browser, it's not a mobile device. And when we click on this, we can see all of my different devices. And in this case, we see this is this laptop that I have here. We also have the ability, you notice there, to add a computer. So if you wanted to enable people to add their own computers to be managed and self, you know, say, hey, I want to get this added benefit, although of productivity and installing applications, you just click on add the computer and people could install the client themselves, right? I know myself, like at Microsoft, the way it works is people join their own machines to the domain, right? People self opt in to being more controlled, right? And I think that's the general premise of, I think, where most things are headed is, you know, giving people the choice. You know, whether you own it or not, you have the option to opt into these other scenarios, and in exchange, you get a better productivity experience. And in this case, let's go back to apps, right? We've got an application portal here, and I've only uploaded one application, just Skype here, but you could have any number of corporate applications listed here or published here to specific users. So that's an added benefit that the user would get, right? They have the ability to install your corporate applications voluntarily on their own devices. Okay. With that, let's now go and kind of show you a little bit about, briefly, the admin experience that you would see with that in the environment. Somebody's got a phone call. Pick that up. Let me go back to my other machine and just show you the admin console and some of the things very briefly that you can do from the other device, or from the admin side of things, so the security and the management side of things. So here we're back to the Intune portal. I'm going to give you a very brief run through. You see with endpoint protection, you can detect if there's malware. You also have, this is where we would deploy software. So under manage software here, you can see how we have Android, iOS, and Windows applications that are available. And all we have to do is add a new piece of software that gets uploaded to Windows Azure, and then all your users would install those applications via Windows Azure, assuming they have appropriate permissions. Okay. And we also have things like hardware reports. So under devices, when we go to all devices, we can see, let's go to a PC here. When we click on that PC, let me zoom in a little more here. We've got updates, malware, alerts, hardware, and software. So for instance, let's go and check out the hardware in this environment. You'll see it's a Dell machine, has 5.8 gigs of RAM. There's all kinds of statistics here. We can know all the software that they're running on that machine. We can see different policies that we want to apply or policies that are applied to the machine in the environment. So there's a lot of control that you have here right from within the console. Furthermore, remember I mentioned the synchronization of Active Directory. When we go into the admin page here, there's this section for users. Now, how many of you have deployed Windows Intune or Office 365? Show of hands. Like maybe four or five people out of the audience. Okay. So, no bandwidth. Okay. So here you have, you know, the ability to synchronize your users and even use your personal domain. Now, you can have one that's called Azure Active Directory or Microsoft Online Directory Services. Some people will call it the old name that we've had for quite a while. But you'll notice here there's corporate domains that you can synchronize here using ADFS and directory synchronization. I'm not going to have time to show you how to do all that. That could be an hour in and of itself. But just so you get the idea of what you can do here, and when we click on users, you'll notice here that we have some users that have this little kind of synchronization icon. That means it's synchronized from your on-premise Active Directory. The little Pearson icons means you created that user inside the cloud using that on Microsoft.com address. Okay, this is showing you how you have that people-centric IT and you're extending that to the cloud. Okay, let's go back here and keep things going. All right, to kind of recap what you've seen here, bring your own. Got it, your own laptop, and you've applied some corporate policy on it, right? Windows Intune is now helping you be more secure and manage those devices. And would you say that this user is now more productive? Yeah? Yeah? Okay, yeah, we got head nods there, yep. They're more productive inside their own environment using their own hardware. Let's go to the next scenario. Okay, so let's go back to the same laptop. And, right, we have the same, you'll notice it's very similar to the one we had, just the one we just showed, where it's the same, this laptop here. The big difference, though, is the bottom thing that you see there, corporate compliance. Right, before we had kind of a somewhat compliant device, right? We had some loose policies on it using Windows Intune. We had some visibility into it. But we really couldn't enforce a fully compliant device, right? It's not domain joined. We only have limited control over that Windows device. But what we can do is go back to that device and we can connect up to remote desktop session. Okay? So here, I'm going to click on the remote. This is a VDI session using Windows Server 2012. And what I've done is connected up to my the web app portal that's made available very easily using the VDI wizard in Windows Server 2012. And what I'm going to do is log in as using my corporate credential account. Click on sign in. I signed in pretty quickly there. And you'll notice, first off, that there are a number of applications made available to me. I've got WordPad, Paint Calculator. Now, that's really just the default ones, right? Those aren't very exciting. But you could very much put in corporate applications there that are made available to users. And what those are doing is, if you're familiar with remote app or terminal services applications, that's going to run those remotely and stream those down to your device. So no data, let's say that it's secure corporate data or secure corporate application, that app and that data is not going to reside locally on this device. I'm going to click on connect. And yeah, it looks like a regular, looks like WordPad. Nothing special, right? But the difference is that this WordPad is running on a remote server. Okay, what we can also do here is we can connect to a remote PC. So in this case, I'm going to choose, let's just say, server1.contoso.com. Now, you can configure it so that you have personal desktops and these other things to where you just click an icon and it opens up. But you also have the ability for people to specify these options. I'm going to click on connect. I also want to connect in other supported plug-and-play devices. Oh, it's corp.corp.contoso.com. Click on connect. I'm going to then type in my corporate credentials again. Okay. I'm now connecting in to a remote desktop session on the server. Okay. This is server one. This is fine. This will work. So I'm connected into server one. This could be a VDI type of session where you've enabled this to have a corporate type experience with the applications and the other things that you have inside of your environment. What I'm going to do, though, was one of the new things that we have in this environment is the ability to do USB redirection. So for instance here, I've got a new text document. And what I'm going to do is open this up. And I'm going to plug in a device, okay? So any device should work. I just happen to have a barcode scanner around. I mean, come on, right? Why wouldn't you use one of these every day or carry them around? But I'm going to plug this in. Okay, some loud beeping noises. What I can do is, let's say, scan my badge here or any other barcode. And voila, right? I have now, just to give you, kind of wrap your head around what's going on here, right? I've now taken a USB device that's plugged into my physical PC, and that has been redirected to a virtual desktop that's being hosted in my corporate data center. Right? This is a fully managed corporate machine, corporate compliant machine. Right? And it's all being done from a personally owned device. All right. So what do you think of that? Yeah. Okay. Cool. Licensing dongle.
I don't know, but don't ask me about licensing. That's no fun. All right. Well, let's go back to our slides here. And we're going to keep things going. Let's. So yeah, your question is, can you do that on the Android or the iPad? Okay, common question you get asked, you know, can you do RDP on all these devices? Now, Microsoft does not have a native RDP client that we produce at this point in time for other devices outside of Microsoft. However, there are many or numerous third-party RDP applications that you can install for Android, for iPad, for whatever, Linux, right, that will still connect you into a Windows Server 2012 VDI type of session. If you really want to, one of our partners, Citrix, has a good solution where they have a Citrix receiver. And what you can even do is using System Center Configuration Manager, like we saw a little bit earlier, is push out applications to any device that is supports Citrix receiver, which is pretty much almost anything that's out there today. And you can push down applications or desktops down to, let's say, an iPad or a Citrix device using System Center Configuration Manager. Yeah, let's hold those types of questions at the end, but the answer is no, it would not work, because it all depends on the app that connects. I want to keep moving here. And what I want to show is a little bit about, let's go to this next scenario here. Okay, using an intelligent infrastructure. So again, this is just kind of to recap a little bit of what you've seen. Active Directory is at the center. And what you want to do, and this kind of ties into the comment on Citrix, right? You want to be able to deploy applications to a lot of different scenarios, to use App V, to all these different devices. You've got three kind of styles of apps, device-optimized apps. These would be ones that are written for the device specifically, such as, let's say, Office on a Windows phone. Web apps would be the ones you just saw using Office, right? Or virtual desktops. You've also just seen virtual desktops, how you were able to connect up to that, and apps, right? And you want to be able to deliver those to users intelligently, which System Center Configuration Manager enables you to do. Speaking of System Center Configuration Manager 2012, the beta is now made available as of this week. And what that's going to enable you to do is manage not only Windows devices using System Center Configuration Manager, but also Macs and Linux. So you have a central way to manage and secure various platforms inside of your environment using a single console. The other thing that it has support for is Windows 8 apps. So you saw that portal where we sideloaded a Windows 8 application. SP1 is what enables that to work. Furthermore, it also runs, it can be installed on top of Windows Server 2012 for the first time. You can go check that out at that AKA link there if you'd like. Okay. Last but not least, I want to show you how many people have heard of Windows To Go. Anybody? Okay, a lot of people. All right. So for some of you, this may be, nothing too new for you. but it's, I think, an important one to start thinking about in the overall picture of things. What we can do is, just from this stick right here, is run Windows entirely on the stick itself. So what I'm going to do is plug this into this same laptop device, and we're going to boot to it, okay? Let's go back to this laptop again and plug it in. How many people, so a lot of people are familiar with it. How many people have, by show of hands, how many people will have used it? Okay, like 4 or 5 people. Okay, good. So in a nutshell here, I'm just going to tell you, it's pretty simple to use. You need the enterprise bits, and once you have the enterprise bits, all that you need to do is go to Control Panel and specify, here, watch, I'll even show you right now, doing a little change on the fly.
Windows to go. So I typed Windows to go. And there we're going to see Windows to go in the options. Oop. Let me go back to that. Windows to go. And, you know, here's one of the drives that are there, and I'm not going to redo this thing here, but you add an WIM image that you can provide from, you know, whatever the install media is. Click Next, and it just configures a device for you. You can, of course, customize that WIM image to whatever company's liking. You can install Direct Access on it and make sure it's fully managed, corporate everything, and you've got that all on a stick, right? So it's pretty simple to enable. I'm going to now restart this and show you what it's like, how you go into it. This will take just a teeny bit of time here. Okay. So is this making sense for everybody so far? You kind of getting a feel for things? Are you getting some ideas as far as the things you might change in your own environment, products you might start to use to implement to enable consumerization of IT? People have been pretty comfortable with how things are? Yeah? Okay. Now, how many of you, I'm just curious, a little bonus if we have time here at the end. Does somebody have, let's say, a device that has USB 3 on it, no BitLocker, that we could plug in my own stick into? Okay. If we have time, we'll give you a shot here. I'm gonna pull up the resources here. While this is restarting, okay. Oh, it just switched on me. Let's go back to this. Okay, here's, you may not see it yet. Okay, so let's go back in here to the resources. We're almost done here. And I'm going to show you how we can boot this guy from somebody's own device here. Why don't we go ahead and just go with yours right now, if you're up to it. Here we go. Okay. So we're going to plug this guy in. And if you want to reboot it, and then go to your BIOS menu when you reboot. Pretty thin device. It's a nice Ultrabook there. What kind of Ultrabook is that?
That's the Samsung Series 9.
Series 9, okay. That's pretty awesome. All right, so hit your BIOS key to boot from alternate device. Oh, you missed it. That's the trick, right? So it's a pretty quick booting device he's got there. But so what you're going to do, right, is, you know, most of you boot from alternate device using your BIOS setting. So when we choose this here, hopefully you hit it now. Okay. So it's too fast. The problem is it's too fast for him to hit the key, right? Okay. So while he's – there he goes. Okay. So he's going to the boot options. I'm going to summarize some of your options here for you while he's getting that going. The Edge Show on consumerization. So every week we have on the Edge Show, we have a weekly episode geared towards your IT professionals. Okay, he's got an issue there. So I don't know what he's got going on there. If you need to give the stick back to me and I can show it working up here. But the reality is, yeah, because if you have BitLocker on thing, now the drive is fully encrypted, right? So if this gets lost, you're safe, right? But anyway, I'm gonna recap these resources here, and then if you'd like to go, you can. So Edge Show, I'd focus on consumerization of IT. I've had quite a few episodes since October, focused on various things. So for instance, we talked to the program manager for Office Web Apps, giving you a deeper dive on what's behind the scenes there. We have usually about 5 minutes of technical news from Microsoft relevant for IT pros, and then followed by about usually 15 minutes or so of a technical interview with somebody from inside of Corp at Microsoft relating to different technologies. We cover server. All of this month we're covering server because it's server launch time. I did the last one on Direct Access. Then we have private cloud, a number of other topics there. Strategy white paper. This
gives you more details. You remember at the beginning I gave you kind of some policies and things at the start. This gives a white paper that gives you more depth on strategy for your policy. Then we have products to device matrix. So it maps, I created this spreadsheet where it maps all the different capabilities and scenarios to all the different device form factors that we support with all of these different products. And then finally, we have a consumerization of IT jumpstart. So there we have, under the MVA or Microsoft Virtual Academy, you have the ability to go through a guided learning tour of learning more about consumerization of IT. You have 8 hours of content deeper on a lot of the topic areas that you see here. So and that's totally free to you. So if you have questions or other things you'd like to see, I've only got one more session left covering in more detail how to deploy or sideload those Windows 8 applications on that dev session. And I'll also be around the speaker lounge. So thank you. Okay, cheers, thank you. Now you do.